Hello, Potemkins. I'm going to go through a very quick price chart and price discovery class here because a lot of people lose track of somebody manipulating whichever game they're playing. And that's what money is, it's a game. So, USD is not a unit of measure, and I'll get back to that at the end. But the problem when you can change the distance between one and zero over here, with inflation, then you have an ability as a super user. And that's really just a problem. Crypto systems have come around to not allow, or every single participant has the same ability to generate money. Whereas some people have basically no cost of money creation and a super user ability to just print up a budget. This will be your USD prices on a chart. This is a dollar. Each one of these hash marks is a quarter. This is time. Each one of these hash marks is a 4-hour chart. The blue line here is one day. Time on a chart can be messed with. Just so you can somewhat you can make your charts a little bit of a foregone conclusion. Here's how. The 59th minute on every hour chart has 59 1-minute candles behind it. And when you want to see a 1-hour chart, you can do a lot of stuff in that last 60 seconds to make the 1-hour candle, the 30-minute candle, the 15-minute candle, the 5-minute candle, the 3-minute candle. All of these things can be basically Fibonacci'd into some sort of relevance. And you can kind of do it as a four, you know, when I say you're manipulating a 1-minute candle for a 1-hour chart, you have to do this with a plan. That's not some kind of ignorant one-off. And you've heard me speak of the Fourier series before. That's where you start looking at how would I turn my price chart into a foregone conclusion. Now, here's some parts that people really don't understand because the price chart is just an X and a Y axis, and there's other stuff going on that people really can't measure. The X and the Y axis are really just supposed to be a commodity volume over time presentation. Well, not everything runs on a commodity volume. So when you start getting into what we'll call a money velocity, and that's basically where your entire money supply has a significant turnover on a daily basis. So if you have 100 million units and you go through 100 million units a day, we're going to call that a velocity of one. So now you're not really doing a commodity volume because every one of your 100 million units is trading once a day. Now, this is both good and bad because that means that your whole money supply is volatile. No one is staking. And that's a whole economic thing you can get into later. Just understand that the money velocity adds a z-axis to the price chart. It adds a z-axis because it's almost like having another price chart. When you have 100 million units of something and you're trading a commodity volume, you should not be trading your entire money supply, your entire supply of commodity, whatever it is. When you have so many participants that you roll your money supply over every day, it doesn't give the price chart that you and I understand justice. This is why when gold moves by hand, you know, gold is not a simple transaction method. It's just a secure one because you can weigh it and you can assay it and ensure that you're getting a quality product at the end. But it doesn't make it easy to trade with. When you trade a gold contract on the stock exchange, you do not get gold, but you get a simulation of that commodity. And many of them trade every day at a volume. So if you're going to put the price chart at, you know, if we call it 100 million units per price chart, and then you start pushing 400 other million units a day on other price charts, you basically have five price charts. That's how, you know, quanti math guys start doing very good valuations because they're looking at more of the network effect of Metcalfe's law. So velocity is a function of Metcalfe's law, and you have to go learn how Metcalfe's law works to really understand the difference between commodity trading and a currency velocity or a money velocity. When I get into zero here, zero is a relevant metric because, like I said, if you have two, as I say, there's a z-axis here because there's so many people involved that your one price chart doesn't quite do it justice anymore. You have to understand that people, this is a digital display, and zero, when the metrics that are supposed to be displayed properly have an ability to dip below zero. Like I said, if you have two price charts here, let's just say you're trading at any particular commodity at a value of $1. And then what you don't know is there's so much velocity on there, there's another price chart. So if you were to put all of this volume onto here, it should look like two. But because the Wall Street guys are just better at this game than you, they know how to keep money velocity on a separate metric. So you trade this chart, they trade an advanced model where the USD hasn't really moved on this chart, but they recognize it's a value. They should be paying more for it. And so they start buying it while preventing these metrics from hitting your chart. They know what's going on in the, they've done their due diligence homework and they know what's going on in the real, and it's not happening on the price chart. So they're trading, and they're basically, what I'm describing is how you could just have longer buying time by hiding metrics. Now, you say you can't hide the metrics, that's doing your own homework. The last part I'm going to get into, inflation is where, you know, I was describing 100 million units. If you have the ability to print up more units, then you have the ability to manipulate this metric here, the distance between one and zero, by creating higher liquidity. And you don't really want that either. This just happened with Tesla. Tesla was starting to go through the roof because of a lot of interest, and they had to split the stock. So now there's five times the liquidity. Well, the real world doesn't allow five times the amount of gold to be spawned into the world. So we start having fiat metrics, which is basically an infinite game, to commodity metrics, which is a finite game, and then trying to play pretend between the two. And, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought on that. And I'm just trying to point out how price charts are fundamentally inadequate to get you all the information you need. Well, never mind trading standards, never mind currency metrics, never mind econometrics altogether. This is a simulation of a digital display, okay? It just means that because the USD is a non-unit of measure in any way, shape, or form, I just set up this beautiful display to you that looks like science. It looks like these beautiful increments, but it might not have your... If you got inflation in your money supply and you have super users, this chart doesn't quite do you justice. If you have a currency velocity instead of just commodity metrics, this chart doesn't do you justice. But this chart is a digital display, and it is vulnerable to what you would call an electronical warfare attack. So that's where I make the USD on this chart do whatever I want. And as long as you don't understand that the underlying metrics and this number don't really have anything to do with each other, the distance between the reality of what the real economy does and this chart based on a USD, which is not a unit of account, will just say whatever it wants. It allows you to do foregone conclusions and such. And in this game that we're talking about, finite game is crypto, an infinite game is fiat. So this discussion gets very in-depth about, you know, there's lots of economists who like to pretend they know things, but when you only discuss fiat money mechanics and you never discuss what happens when the money runs out or what happens when the credibility runs out in your fiat, you're not really being honest with your game. Well, I can show you some honesty over time. These are not my screenshots, okay? This is a screenshot I had from a while back where SysX and ETH are outside of price oracles on a decentralized exchange. What I'm about to show, these three screenshots here are far more recent, okay? This is on PancakeSwap. You can go check it. And for one wrapped Sys, well, one BNB registers for wrapped Sys. Again, this is just because it's outside of USD price oracles. It registers as 140 BNB for a wrapped Sys. Now, that's just some weird econometric. And, you can ask yourself, what's happening to the signal that causes this anomaly? Don't worry so much about this anomaly. This is kind of funny. But it is where I'm pointing out where your digital display outside of USD price oracles can be very, very manipulated. And if you want to say this is a random event, that's fine. Oops, that's an ignorant thing. A meme. This is wrapped sys up against 1 BUSD. Notice it's the same exchange rate. That's why this is weird, because if you could go over on PancakeSwap, you could put one wrapped sys up against Ethereum, up against BUSD, and up against BNB, and they all come back about 140 per wrapped sys. So when I say we got weird signals in the market, I can demonstrate that as soon as you walk away from USD price oracles, look, we get weird econometrics in the finite game, because there are ways to check that your 1 USD and your signal are proper in the finite game, because the finite game has liquidity issues. And when you have this metric over in the finite world, when you can print 5 times more Tesla to alleviate your USD price hike, because now you can create more supply, you can't create more supply in crypto, which is why that Fourier series is there, because it's really just keeping people, the crypto market isn't fully up and ready yet. There is a gas station up in Pennsylvania called Sheets, and they verified on Twitter that they are testing crypto in 2 of their stores in State College, which is, you know, be a lot of college students at main campus Penn State. So when I say crypto is coming, and the signals that we are all seeing on these bright charts are not exactly what you think they are, you can check. All of these arguments people have about fiat econometrics and such, they don't understand how to settle their game. I can show you all of the ways their games go wrong. Inflation, money velocity, which is your Metcalfe's law. Here's supposedly your unit of measure, and here's supposedly your time, and how these things are supposed to be traded. And then I could show you that your displays can have a variance, especially when your variance is attached to a non-unit of measure. So this is how you kind of have to start looking at your charts. And I know this is a little complicated for some people, but enjoy learning your retirement, because if you cannot watch where someone in this matrices here, in one of these matrices, some hedge fund guy will be trying to either steal your money or steal someone else's money on your behalf. But the financial warfare tactics that people are permitted to use, it's got nothing to do with regulation, has everything to do with capabilities. So you have to know what capabilities happen in any particular system and which mechanics attack your unit of measure, which mechanics just attack your technology. If someone knows how to manipulate the United States dollar, how they could plan against you over time, how they can remove certain metrics so that you can't see them on this chart until they're ready to merge all of these metrics into, oh yeah, we got lots more participation than you can know now. So understand your game, and understand that finite games and infinite games are played differently, and inflation is the way some people cheat, and signals is the way other people cheat, and velocity is the way other people cheat. And just messing with your charts and your perception, and this is how you mess with an order book. Some people get to mess with order books on the exchanges. So know your game and understand that it's not as simple as you want it to be. Have a good week, Potemkins.
When all of your flaws and all of my flaws are laid out one by one, a wonderful part of the mess that we made, we pick ourselves undone. All of your flaws and all of my flaws, they lie there hand in hand. Ones we've inherited, ones that we learned, they pass from man to man. There's a hole in my soul, I can't feel it, I can't feel it. And there's a hole in my soul, can you feel it, can you feel it? You have always worn your flaws upon your sleeve, and I have always buried them deep beneath the ground. Dig them out, let's them out.